You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
There's just too many of us. When LBJ, Lyndon Johnson, said this back in the 1960s, he thought a planet of about 3 billion people was crowded.
I will seek new ways to use our knowledge to help deal with the explosion in world population.
But by the time Richard Nixon left office, we were at 4 billion.
Our cities are going to be choked with people. They're going to be choked with traffic. They're going to be choked with crime.
Well, we already know that. Yesterday on our program, scientist Stephen Emmett tried to portray the steep rise in population that will get us to 10 billion people on planet Earth by the end of this century. He gave us measurements of food demand, CO2, pollution, and climate. Emmett makes the argument that the planet simply can't take this growth in humans. Danny Dorling is the Halford Mackinder Professor of Geography at the University of Oxford and the author of Population 10 Billion. He says, in fact, the planet may be built especially to take these kinds of population loads. He joins me today from Oxford, England. Welcome, Danny.
Hello there.
So the argument from Stephen yesterday was really a stop or else catastrophe is going to happen. What I wanted to do was pose to you maybe a slightly more nuanced question of what can the planet actually take? Do we know?
We don't know. We've always had concerns that there is an optimum population, a top number. But a century ago, that top number, the top number people said that, for instance, the USA could take was about 100 million people. And of course, you've well expanded past that. We do not know what the number it could take is. But what we do know, the kind of really good news story, is that for 40 years now, our population growth has been slowing. The rate at which we're increasing, the number of extra babies we're having, has been slowing down for 40 years. So the growth is coming to an end. It's set to plateau at about 10 or 11 billion people. Most people in the world at the moment have 3 children on average, and their children are expected to have 2. This is the first population stability we'll be getting for centuries. And it's great news that it's coming.
Well, what is the planet going to do with the 10 billion? I mean, if it is the case that 10 billion is the plateau, it still doesn't answer the question of can we take all those people?
It's not necessarily the people, it's what the people do. The planet couldn't cope with just 1 billion people behaving very, very badly. The planet could cope with 10 or even more billion people if those people were not consuming resources and producing pollution at an unsustainable rate. It's not the number of people, it's what the people do. But the number of people slowing down helps. It's easier for a population that isn't endlessly growing to behave in a better way, not to burn so much oil, not to do so many things that are so destructive to our environment that our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren will find it much harder to survive.
Can the planet sustain a doubling of demand for agricultural land that Stephen Emmett says needs to happen between now and 2050?
Well, we're not getting a doubling of population, so we'll only get a doubling of demand if people want to eat more. It can't sustain everybody eating the amount of meat that people in the rich world currently eat. It takes an enormous amount of land to produce that much meat. But eating meat just once or twice a week is far better for you than eating meat every day. So the planet can't sustain us being stupid. It can't sustain us being greedy. It can't sustain us carry on doing things that make us unhealthy, particularly in very large numbers, more of us doing that. But the planet can certainly house a population of 10 billion people who spend most of their time not eating meat, but who eat meat occasionally.
Now, what is it that's going to induce these changes in behaviors? Huge population fall-offs in places where unsustainability becomes famine? Is it going to be, you know, entertaining PowerPoint presentations by former vice presidents? I mean, what is it that's going to cause?
It's already begun. It began around 1971. That was the peak year population growth. The growth then was 2.3% a year, completely unsustainable. And the growth has begun. The growth rate has begun to slow since then. We're not sure what the cause was, but the cause happened. There's a whole combination of things. There's birth control. There's the increased power of women, which seems more and more important the more we look at it. So women getting a voice in society and begin to say, no, they don't want to have 3 or 4 children. But the key thing is you shouldn't despair. It's not what will we have to do. Something has already happened to mean that in 1971, We began to have slightly fewer children than in 1970, fewer again for 40 years. It has begun. We're not sure why it has begun, but it wasn't PowerPoint presentations, it wasn't great leaders, and it's happened all around the world. So now over half of the world has below fertility replacement already, and the rest is slowing to that very, very rapidly.
Finally, is there a scenario which might produce a population reversal like we saw in the Middle Ages, either disease, pathogens, or loss of access to clean water?
Yes, there are lots of very bad scenarios, scenarios of war, scenarios of famine. And the sad thing is all those scenarios don't actually result in fewer people. They end up resulting in more people. So after a war, you get a baby boom and a big population explosion. After famine or an epidemic, you have more babies. So we need to watch out for things getting much worse. Large numbers of people dying won't make us better off. They'll actually result in us having more children and it becoming more unsustainable. We need a stable planet. We need to look after each other.
Is a resilient planet something we should be happy about or something that encourages bad behavior before we go?
We don't know how resilient the planet is, but what we do know is that human beings are entering a new period. We have never before had the majority of the world's population living in cities or in these numbers. We don't know how resilient we are to this, and we need to worry about ourselves and how we behave, and certainly damaging the planet is not going to help ourselves.
Danny Darling is a professor of geography at the University of Oxford, author of Population 10 Billion. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We've been hearing from a lot of you about family size. What factors did you weigh in deciding how many children to have?
I had two children, both of whom are grown. It was late 60s and zero population growth. The ZPG movement was big. So most of my friends had just two children. That was the responsible thing to do.
Responsible thing to do. How are you adapting? Thanks to Diane from California there. But you and Eugene, Oregon, aren't quite ready to stop reproducing. You're right. I have three terrific grown kids. I wanted as many kids as possible, up to six. Got halfway there. I'm 60, and I'd still have more. If you've ever lived in Eugene, it's a lovely place for kids, that's for sure. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or find us at facebook.com/thetakeaway.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Lumosity. Lumosity.com's daily workouts are designed to improve memory and attention. Dedicated to helping people feel sharper, think faster, and remember more. It's all at Lumosity.com.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.